This is the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. What a pleasure it is to be with Roger Schlickhuysen, who is the president of one of the great environmental and public policy groups, the Defenders of Wildlife. Bill Russell was just introducing the idea of how powerful corporations are in this conversation, that really we can't not talk about that.
Well, it was the long way around saying they are major players in all of what we're talking about.
Oh, they are. And of course, that's coming home to the American public now because of our economic crisis. And, you know, whether you call it greed or a profit motive run wild, you know, that is a large part of what got us into the mess we're in. And it is at work with regard to devouring nature, if you will. They are not charged under their own charters and under our legal system with a social responsibility, if you will, of looking out for future generations and looking out for living nature. What they get rewarded for is next quarter's profits, and it's a very short-term view on things. And their responsibility is to the shareholders, and it's expressed historically here pretty narrowly as being the maximum profits that you can make and the highest earnings per share that you can make. And we do pay a price for that. Now, it may have been a time when the world, including the United States, could tolerate that because, you know, with fewer people, with, you know, less nature devouring technology than we have now, with less mouths to feed, less need for water than we have now, that you could have those kinds of impacts on nature and it could just absorb it. Well, we have passed that point now. You're talking about the tipping point. I don't know exactly where the tipping point came, but we've passed that point now. And if you could update the charters of corporations and ingrain in those charters more social responsibility, we'd all be better off. Well, it's pretty hard to unring that bell, I think.
It is indeed. And it's also, I mean, this is one of those things. We may be at a time in human history and the history of life on Earth where we have to figure out new ways to ring the bells. Corporations have not always been treated as, although they were not actually ever given the Supreme Court's blessing, they've not always been treated as persons. And there was a time when they died after 20 years. It was just part of the founders knew that there was a real challenge here. And they said corporations has to be in the state, can't own anybody else, ends at 20 years. The end. Well, these are political decisions. There's nothing written in stone that corporations have to be as they have been. And for people to begin to say, wait a minute, we need to think about this, is part of the work that a Defenders of Wildlife, that those of us who simply think of ourselves as active citizens, that we must begin to wake up from this numbness that has captured us over 30 or 40 years and say, there are big things happening and life's threatened on Earth. What are we going to do about it?
Well, I do think that's right. I mean, we have the object lesson now of the economy being in trouble, the stock market being down, the credit markets being so much in trouble. And so there is more stimulants out there for us to look at this and examine those questions right now.
And the stakes are high.
The stakes are very high, and it's very difficult politically to do this. But even if you approach it, I think the most you hear the discussions going being in terms of, recognizing that corporations provide the engines for growth in a capitalistic society that can be extremely beneficial. I mean, we have a high standard of living and quality of life that we have because of them. But more of a recognition that government has to set some boundaries around it. And so what we're examining,
because government is us.
That's us. And so we have to set the boundaries around saying what are the rules within these corporations have to operate. And there is a certain amount of healthy thinking going on right now looking at that again. It ends up being oversimplified into being how much regulation there is, but I think that's encouraging. The part of it that I wish it would go further, though, because what they're really saying there is they are still only looking at it through an economic lens. You know, so if you could make the corporations more responsible by setting the boundaries in a better way and imposing regulations on them. So they had to operate within boundaries so that the economy could continue to grow and be healthy. That's as far as they go. But what we need them to do in this day and age is not only to look at that, but how you make them more socially responsible in terms of their impact on the environment. And, you know, our job especially is to look at the impact on living nature, on biodiversity. And that's, we aren't to that point. I mean, no one, even the economic chaos we have right now is not stimulating that kind of discussion, unfortunately. But we desperately need that kind of discussion.
I had never thought, this is the first time I've thought of global climate change as an opportunity. But it is sort of a textbook case. I mean, what we're talking about is the whole ecology of Earth. But we have this specific condition, which is global warming, and we've got a pretty good idea of what the science around it is becoming clearer and clearer. And in a way, it is an opportunity to begin to, with respect to specific circumstances, develop the policies, develop the mindsets, develop the tools, develop the institutions necessary to address that specific challenge. But those same approaches can also be generalized, and the obvious case, of course, is carbon. We know the science is just overwhelmingly compelling that pumping the amount of CO2 into the air that we're pumping into the air is very, very, very destructive. We have to find a way of addressing that. Part of the challenge has been that we've externalized the cost of that.
Yes.
So there are tools that are both, you know, a more enlightened view of economics, but also a more enlightened view of what it means to be a human in a political environment, that are available to us with a very specific focus and not an obvious deadline, but deadline in a very real sense. So in a way, this is an opportunity. Aren't we glad?
Well, if we recognize it, it's a horrible problem and challenge. The question is whether you recognize it as an opportunity, and it's hard. I mean, we're talking about global warming. I mean, you know, the good news is, I think that the country, and again, the media keeps playing a hugely important role in this, over the last several years have finally begun to recognize just how dangerous global warming is. But they are having amazing problems in Congress, even with a president who is very much in tune with this problem and wants to do something about it, and a Congress which is more in tune with it than we've had in a long, long time. And yet you see in the news every day, you know, how difficult it is to try to get a piece of legislation out there that will do more than just be a global warming bill in name, you know, that will actually get at the issue of cutting greenhouse gas emissions, which is fundamental to this. But there is an additional problem, and again, being who I am, coming from an organization that's looking to protect biodiversity, I get very concerned that even more difficult than capping emissions in some way is getting the political establishment to recognize that the problem of global warming, the cause of global warming, is greenhouse gas emissions. The dreadful impact is on biological diversity. Trying to get an appreciable portion of the Congress to recognize that you aren't dealing with the problem wholly when you cut emissions, but you have to go on to try to deal with the impact on biological diversity. That's even more difficult. And I don't know how far you want to go into this, but a little while ago you were asking about the intergenerational aspects and kind of what's intergenerational justice. Well, we've got a perfect example here right now. We have some very, most people would say, progressive environmental congressmen who are proposing legislation to deal with greenhouse gas emissions that would say you would cap greenhouse gas emissions and then give back all of the federal revenues to their voters as rebates. Well, in terms of intergenerational equity, there isn't anything much more wrong-headed than that, because what you're doing then is you're subsidizing an unsustainable lifestyle rather than using that money to try to protect living nature, the biodiversity infrastructure that their children and future children are going to have to make their livelihoods off of. I mean, that we are basically subsidizing you know, current lifestyles, if we did that, rather than taking at least a portion of those federal revenues that came, for example, from a cap and trade system and reinvesting them in doing something that something like the Endangered Species Act should have done if Congress and presidents would have fully funded it, which is to build more resiliency into our ecosystems and into habitat so they can better withstand this pressure. We are going to lose a considerable amount of biodiversity from global warming. We can't avoid
that's
that.
That's done.
The question is, can you mitigate it? Can you mitigate the loss to an appreciable degree? And the answer is yes, you can. The big challenge is whether we can possibly find the political will to do it. So you have to find the political will, first of all, to cap emissions, and secondly, besides capping emissions, to recognize that that doesn't solve the global warming problem, that you have to deal with its impact. Not just the causes, but the impact. And that's very difficult. I can tell you, as somebody that's in Washington dealing with this from day to day, it's extremely difficult, and we've got champions. The country has champions in the Congress fighting for this, but it's very hard, and it's yet to be seen how it's going to play out.
Roger Schlickhuysen has honored us with his presence. We're all going to be back in just a moment. Come back with us.